This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, you ready for some good news? We'll deal with the bad Joe Biden Iran response here this hour. Get to some emails this hour, some other things. We'll even get to this plus size lady who's mad and I'm on her side. But before we get to that, let's do this. Let's talk about something good. You know, we talk all the time about how they're after your children. They're after your children. They're after your children. They're not passive about it. They really, really want your kids. They want to shatter them. We are winning school board races in this country. And you should understand something. No matter what happens in 24 with Congress and presidency, no matter what happens there, we are winning really, really, really important, valuable races that matter. And the communists know these races matter. In Minnesota, their teachers union sinking a fortune now into school board races. Why? Because this is happening across the country with teachers unions, because normal people like you are running for office. They're running for these seats where we have never even thought about these seats before. We've ignored the existence of these seats before. Now, people are throwing themselves into these races to the point that teachers' unions are starting to panic and they're starting to have to dump money themselves into it. I know that sounds like a small thing. It is a huge thing, an enormous thing. I have said the local races, I don't just tell you to run locally so you can fortify your community and neighborhood, but it's not the only reason. That's one of the reasons. Local races, they are the soft underbelly of communism in this country. Think about, you ever seen a stegosaurus? Or you know what? Forget about that. Sorry, that's probably a little dinosaur or nerdy. A porcupine. Everyone knows what a porcupine is. You ever seen a porcupine? You ever seen animals that know how to eat a porcupine? What do? Flip them over. So you got all those spikes, all those spines on the back. You try to attack a porcupine there. You're probably not going to be successful. You're just going to get yourself hurt. But a porcupine has an underbelly that's nice and soft and exposed. You can roll that porcupine over on that belly. Eat away. The federal government. Not that we don't want to win Congress and presidency and Senate. That's not important. The federal government, top to bottom, is fortified with porcupine spines for the communists. Even the Federal Bureau of Investigation actively works for Democrats. They campaign for them. They arrest their political opponents. Top to bottom, the federal government is fortified. But your local community is not. These communists get on these school boards. They get on your city council, the parks department, the sheriff, the DA. They get on there. oftentimes because nobody even runs against them. We're all just living our lives, white picket fence, church on Sunday, life is good, I'm at a burger. The communist is plotting, I'm going to run for city council next year. Look, no one's even running against me. I can't wait to carpet bomb this town I hate so much. Now, they're getting challenges from you. These local races are starting to be challenged in ways communists have never been challenged in this country, and it's going well. Like I've said, we just have to get our hands dirty. We have to get involved. We have to run for these things. This is the soft underbelly, and this is our path to victory. It will take decades. Not going to happen next year. We got it in 2024. Oh, stop. The decades of victory. But this is the one we can have. Speaking of soft underbelly, I want to talk to you about Curvy Sam. Now, you don't know who Curvy Sam is, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know who Curvy Sam is either. The headline in the New York Post says that she's a plus-sized influencer. She's a fat girl. And she... what, Chris? How would I know how fat? I've never seen a picture of her. I don't know. Look at, you know what, Chris? We're looking it up right now. I don't care that we're live. Now I'm curious. I hope she's going to be clothed when I look this up. You know, I really hope she's going to be clothed when I look this up. All right, drum roll, please. Here we go. Curvy Sam. Curvy Sam. Oh, that's Kirby Sam. He doesn't look. You know, oh, there she is. Oh, no, she's big. She's not. I mean, yeah, she's bigger. Look, I have a bunch of army friends. They'd be all over that. She's fine. Whatever. I'm standing with her is the point. The point is not her size, Chris. The point is I'm standing with her. You know why? I'm so tired of showers where I bang my elbows. And there are two kinds of hotels out there. And I know you're saying I'm probably just cheap and I don't stay in the nicest hotels. And that's fair. But the hotels... This used to be my problem because I'm 6'8", right? So I have wide shoulders already and my arms stick out and I have to move around when I shower, right? It takes a lot to shower this lovely head of mine. Anyway, it used to be the showers all just had curtains in the hotels. Well, that generally doesn't work for me because then I get my arm all soaped up and then... That's kind of the sound it makes. What, Chris? It sticks to the shower curtain. Now I'm pulling it off, and I feel like I've got hepatitis from the shower curtain, and now it's bad. Only now they decided they're going to get fancier, and they put, quote, glass or whatever plastic crap in there, and now I just bang my funny bone 1,000 times. I'm with you, Curvy Sam. I'm with you for slightly different reasons, but I stand with you. Now... You know what? I'm not even going to play that audio. I was going to play the audio of a mom and her little boy sitting with a doctor who's about to fill up her son full of puberty blockers. We've had enough of that this week. You know what? Email me and ask Dr. Jesse a question. It doesn't have to be political. I don't care. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, watching history, Chairman Mao getting students to beat up and kill their own professors is crazy stuff. I bet you in the next 2 to 3 years, there's sort of a little red book coming out, a little DEI book. What does the Oracle think? Well, will there be an actual physical book? I don't know that there will be a physical book out like what Mao did. For those who are unfamiliar, when Mao's power in China was fading, he didn't want it to fade. That's when he kicked off the Cultural Revolution with all the high school and college kids beating their parents and professors to death and torture sessions. It was horrible. But part of the rallying cry for that is he wrote some book that wasn't even good. It's really stupid. It's not even... they waved it around like it was some amazing, profound thing, but it was Mao's little red book. You can go to this day, look at pictures of students holding it up. They're all holding up this little red book. You can read it. It's been translated into English. Don't think you're going to find anything in there. But that's exactly right, Chris. Chris said, an icon is what matters. The icon is what matters. Our kids today, not our kids, that's actually not fair. Our kids and our cultural institutions, from the corporate world to the media world to otherwise, they already have the little red book in their hands. It's all the DEI stuff that is ingrained in them. When you look at the school curriculum, when you see these public opinion polls of 18 to 29-year-olds, they will tell you, honestly, America is an evil place. This is a racist place. Hey, what do they call it? A colonizer place. A misogynistic place where women are oppressed. They've already built the little red book ideals in the minds of the young people. And they've been over and over and over and over and over again demonized the other side. They've not only given them something to be angry about, they've given them someone to be angry about. It's not just that America is evil and racist and all these other stupid things. It's that that guy, he's the one responsible for it. They beat these drums repeatedly. And this is what I've warned about repeatedly, how this stuff ends up manifesting itself in actual physical violence. And that is the worst. And that is the last freaking thing I want. But when they speak like that over and over and over again, eventually what you do when you do that is you create the conditions for someone to act. Anytime there's been a horrible genocide of some kind or acts of violence of some kind, there was always a buildup to it. You remember the Rwandan genocide. A lot of people will at least know what I'm talking about when they were hacking each other to death and stuff. Well, if you ever read the history behind that, it was because there was year after year after year of they're bad, that's evil, they're evil, they're evil. And soon you've got a machete in your hands and permission from the government. And it's on like Donkey Kong. Scary. Let's talk about the military real quick. Secretary Austin said something, and we're going to deal with this Iran response. And let's also talk about protecting ourselves from these people. What kind of people? Well, these kind of people.
How do you convince Americans and voters that those prices might not go back to where they were before the pandemic?
Well, I think most Americans know that prices... are not likely to fall. It's not the Fed's objective to try to push the level of prices back to where they were.
Oh, well, that's okay then. Never mind. We're not even trying to bring prices back down. No, instead, they just passed another $78 billion bill. Do you have precious metals yet? Do you have it? I always talk to you about getting it in your physical possession from Oxford, and I want you to do that, but... please at least tell me you have it in your IRA or 401k. Don't let these people destroy the retirement you busted your entire life for. You busted your butt your entire life for it. Let Oxford Gold help you. Go to oxfordgoldgroup.com/free or just call them 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right, we're just going to go over a couple military matters here, and then we're going to move on to, we'll dog on the RNC and get to some more emails and get to other things. Okay, so there's something that hits me when I read about American history. It's really world history, but I like to read a lot of American history for various things. Civil War. I love reading about Civil War and World War II, like every other guy, and Revolutionary War and things like that. And one of the biggest contrasts you can see from those days to these days when it comes to the military is how often military leaders got sacked, got fired, got bounced. It happens almost never now. It's very, very rare today. In fact, it's so rare that it happens now that if a general loses his position, it's headline news. You never see it. It never happens. And the wild part about that is those guys had a shelf life of about 5 minutes in other eras. They were just dump them the second they could. I was reading today about a submarine commander in World War II. Details of it don't matter. He went out on two patrols twice. He didn't even do anything necessarily wrong. There were no major screw-ups. He didn't get anyone killed. He wasn't aggressive enough for the commanders above him. Boom, gone. See ya. No more subs for you. Come on, get off my submarine. Go pack up your stuff and leave. That's how militaries are supposed to work. How it's supposed to work is generals sit around and quiver with fear that they're about to be sacked if they screw things up. And it doesn't even have to be gross negligence. Honestly, sometimes things just going bad on your watch. You're gone. Goodbye. The guy who was in charge of Pearl Harbor, he made some screw ups. I'm not gonna say he didn't. He made mistakes. None of it, in all my reading, was that egregious. Then Pearl Harbor happens. They destroyed his life. The American government did. Oh, no. Not only are you gone, no, we're going to wreck your reputation and your life, Admiral. And that brings me to where we are. We can't get rid of these people. We can't. Secretary Austin is the defense secretary that used to be, very coolly, the Secretary of War. He is the defense secretary. He straight up disappeared for 10 days and didn't tell the chain of command. He's not sitting around quivering with fear. This was him today.
And frankly, my first instinct was to keep it private. I don't think it's news that I'm a pretty private guy. I never liked burdening others with my problems. It's just not my way.
Oh, never mind. Hey, no worries. The entire chain of command didn't know the defense secretary was getting treatments in a hospital. No sweat, guys. He's just a private guy. I'm putting him in the stories I've been reading about generals and admirals who got sacked, and I'm laughing, just laughing, thinking about one of them even uttering those words. Hey, sorry, I'm a private dude. At least somebody had the guts to ask this.
You were hospitalized for days before you informed the White House or the commander-in-chief of your condition and your absence. Anyone else within the military chain of command would have faced reprimand or even dismissal. Why shouldn't that same standard apply to you, sir?
Well, let me just say that, thanks for the question, that we didn't get this right. And as I said, I take full responsibility for the department's actions. In terms of why on the second notification was not made to the White House, that information was available. I'm not sure at this point what exactly happened, but I think details will play out as a review is conducted.
Part of the reason our military is rotting so badly, part of the reason our men and women on the ground are getting more and more resentful of military leadership is there's no turnover in military leadership. They're not getting fired. They're not having their careers destroyed as they should. Nobody lost their job after Afghanistan? Nobody? We blew the whole withdrawal, got our people killed, drone striked 10 innocent civilians, and left them all our equipment on the way out the door and the keys to the jail where we were holding the ISIS terrorists, and not one general, not one, left his job. The only even relatively high-ranking officer that did lose his job was the lieutenant colonel who said people should lose their jobs. The one guy who lost his job was the guy who said other people should lose their jobs for what happened here. He's the only guy that got fired. We are not ready. This Iranian stuff that's kicking up now, we are not ready. We do not hold our people to account, and that's why they all suck. That's why our military leadership sucks, because they're not afraid of losing their career. Yeah, let's get to some emails. Jesse, I'm sitting outside Whole Foods watching two demons collecting signatures for something. They have clipboards that are boldly marked Planned Parenthood. Person after person stops and signs for whatever they are collecting signatures on. Our side gets jail time for standing up for our beliefs. Their side is celebrated. I cannot watch and do nothing. I just started my $28 a month donation to combat the demons. Best regards, says I can say his name. His name is Russell. Russell decided he's going to fight back by saving lives. What does Russell's $28 do? How does that save a life? That $28 that he gives every month, it buys a young woman an ultrasound. Not any young woman, not just any young woman. A young woman who's already made the decision to have an abortion. She's seeking one out. She's pregnant. She's about to have one. The $28 gives her a free ultrasound from preborn so she can hear the heartbeat. Once she hears it, she will choose life. Almost every one of them does. He's doing something about it. Are you? Preborn.com/Jesse. Look, it's all tax deductible. We can give him 28 grand. It's tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I apologize if you're watching on the simulcast. Remember, they simulcast the show on the First TV. You can watch me do the radio show. I was daydreaming about something, and I forgot to play the air drums when Phil Collins just jammed out right there at the beginning, and I know that's why you tune in. All right, I know that's why you tune in. So from the bottom of my heart, I apologize. I'll be better. From now on, let this be the last
name
time.
Name me a time.
Name me another time when I forget. I won't ever forget. One last word on the whole Iranian thing. There's a headline. Iranian militia evacuate in anticipation of U.S. strikes. We have now given these people so many days letting them know we're going to be attacking at any moment that they've fled the area. They've emptied out the areas we're about to attack. I'm going to combine that. Just hang on to that for a moment. I'm going to combine that with this. This is an article. This is what you call a plant. This is a planted article. The system ensured that this article got printed. And here's the headline. U.S. intelligence officials estimate that Tehran does not have full control of its proxy groups. Did you make the connection? You figure it out? All right, let's talk about it. Iran just killed three of our soldiers. Iran is sponsoring all the Houthi rebels, everything. They're responsible for all this stuff over there. The Biden administration, again, Democrats do not have foreign adversaries. It's an old saying. It's not mine, but it's true. They have domestic adversaries, domestic enemies. The Biden administration does not care about Iran, and they most definitely do not care about any of our troops who got killed. Joe Biden was checking his watch and bored the entire time. Does not care at all. They don't care. What they do care about is power. What they care about is getting reelected. They're worried that this dust up in the Middle East is going to escalate. Therefore, because these are people who are not familiar with how the world actually works, therefore they're going to try to do what America often does and why we've gotten ourselves into so much trouble. We're going to try to half attack. We're going to do two different things. We're going to launch some strikes over there so we can look really tough. But we've been warning you for a week now, so we're going to end up... You watch, Chris, go ahead and write this down. Go ahead and mark this one down. We will launch some strikes, probably this weekend. We will launch some strikes. There will be many, many, many strikes. Pick a number, I don't know, 20, 30, 100. There will be minimal loss of life. There will be fewer people dying in our response than the amount of strikes there are. Meaning if there are 10 strikes, there will be one person dead. If there are 100 strikes, there'll be five people dead. Write that down, Chris. Get ready. I'm going to play it ad nauseum when it happens. Why is it going to happen that way? They warned all these people ahead of time so they could get out before we struck. Then they get to strike and go on television in front of the American people and say, look, we launched these airstrikes. Let it be known to everybody. This is what happens when you attack America. How many strikes did you send over there, Mr. Kirby? He's going to say, we hit them 200 times. Oh, wow, 200 times. And how many people were killed in those? Seven. Why? Because they don't want to win. They don't even want to hit back. They feel obligated to hit back so they don't look weak. What they want is all this to go away. And that leads me to the second part, this headline I just read you. U.S. intelligence officials, they estimate Tehran doesn't have control of its proxy groups. What are they saying there? Well, hey, Iran, it wasn't their fault. The drone wasn't their fault. They didn't even know. They don't even have control. It's not their fault. Giving Iran the out so they don't have to take this any further. Of course, you're not stupid. You're well aware that our intelligence community is completely compromised, just like the FBI is completely compromised. It's coming. Mark my words, it's coming. All right, let's get this couple emails. Jesse, as a world-famous author and intellectual and European cultural expert, are you into wine tasting? Okay. I have tried as I've gotten older, and as I've had to start going to more, you know, I complain about it all the time. When I have to go meet the suits somewhere, I have to fly to New York City and have some fancy dinner with the suits and whatnot. Now, don't get me wrong, the suits treat me very well. It's just not me. You know, it's just not. It's not who I am. It's not how I grew up. It's not me. No, I'm going to go home and make a bacon sandwich and you know, watch football. That's me. But someone's always ordering a bottle of wine at these things. Always ordering a bottle of wine. And I was talking to Ab about it, and she said, well, baby, you're going to have to learn how to at least pretend to like it. Now, full disclosure, I don't drink very much anymore. I used to drink way too much. I'm one of those people who struggled with alcohol. So if you're one of those people now struggling, I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through. I don't struggle anymore. It's something I've gotten past. But I just don't care for drinking that much anymore. I'll have a beer or two. I'm not against it. Just not big on it. I hate wine. I despise it. And because of these dinners I have to go to on occasion, or you'll go to a neighborhood party and they'll bust out, hey, I've got this wine from Tuscany or whatever it may be. Hey, try the wine. So you're always stuck in these situations. Oh, well, that's a good vintage or whatever it may be. It always sucks. It always sucks. Wine sucks. I do not understand how people get into wine at all. It's, you know what it is? It's too sweet. It is, Chris. What are you talking about? It's grape juice. What do you mean? No, it's all, every wine I've ever had is way too sweet. It kind of makes me do that pucker up thing whenever, it's way too much. What? Am I confusing sweet for dry? No, it's not dry. It's wet. It's wine. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, Chris. Either way, I don't know what Chris is talking about. Dry wine. All my wine's been liquid. I don't know what kind of powdered wine you drink. Either way, I find it to be way too sweet. Dear Shogun, I recently followed your advice and started reading Clay Martin's book. I noticed he used the term pipe hitter when talking about military guys. Can you explain to this civilian what that means? It seems like not a compliment. Okay, I didn't realize he asked Dr. Jesse questions. We're already coming in. Remember, these are the kind of things you can ask me. Whatever you want. It can be about food, be about anything. Email those in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I don't know which of Clay Martin's books you were reading. Clay Martin is a stud. My buddy, go read all his stuff. It's all good. He has fiction, nonfiction. They're all good. Green Beret, one of those guys. No. If it's from Clay Martin, believe me, a pipe hitter is most definitely a compliment. A pipe hitter is somebody like Clay Martin. It's a special operations type guy, a Navy SEAL, a Green Beret, an Air Force PJ. Clay Martin's a pipe hitter. A Navy SEAL is a pipe hitter. BK, you know, we bring him on all the time, World News with BK. That's a pipe hitter. What it is, it's how those guys refer to other guys in their community. And I want to stress, I am not in this community. I just have friends. I was just a 4-year average grunt Marine. All right. I am not part of that elite group. But that's how those guys refer to each other. Oh, we got to go kick in this door, beat this guy up and zip tie him and take him back. Hey, let's get some pipe hitters out here. It is a compliment from those guys. When they're referring to pipe hitters, they mean it in the most complimentary manner. How that term ever came about, I don't know. And I'll tell you, I'm not totally sure you want to know. Remember, I talked to a guy who was part of that group once, not from our country, from a different one. His group of pipe hitters were known as the face eaters. And that's because they ate people's faces after they killed them and then left them there so the enemy would find them. There's some hardcore dudes out there. So I don't want to know where the pipe hitter thing came from. Just know it's a compliment. All right? Look, what do you want me to tell you? These guys all, I assume, are on male vitality stacks from Jock. If you want to be the best of the best, the toughest of the tough, you can't be a low-T weenie. And even Navy SEALs drink estrogen when they drink the waters in this country. It's all through our water. It's in our plastics. It's in everything. We have to take steps as a nation to bring our T levels back up. Not just for making babies, for our mood, for our minds. That's why I tell you about a male vitality stack from Chalk all the time. Don't ignore the Chalk Lit powder, I might point out. That's their all-natural caffeine pre-workout. It is awesome. You're going to get into working out? Get some Chad mode. Male vitality stack, female vitality stack, Chad mode. All of it on sale for the lifetime of your subscription through the end of February. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Go now.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. It is the final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we will be back to do it again on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't worry, I'm not out of town. There are no flights to catch. Unless I get in a horrible car wreck on the way to the studio, I'll be here tomorrow. All right. Want to know the difference between the two parties? There's an article out from Red State today that the RNC spent $1.5 million on floral arrangements, limos, and consultants. They take all this money that people send them to save the country, and they spend it on limousines. Now, that's the RNC. Let's talk about Democrats. What I'm about to play you is long. I'll probably stop it maybe throughout. I might pause it a couple times. But it's a little excerpt from a documentary on PBS. You remember the January 6th committee, right? The Democrats started this January 6th committee, and they couldn't find any Republicans to join, so they got Liz Cheney and that dork Adam Kinzinger. And the January 6th committee just put on a show, really, for 2 years. January 6th is the end of the world. It's the end of the world. And then, of course, they destroyed all the evidence when the Republicans took the House. I want you to listen to this. And it may make you angry. That's fine. That's fine. But listen to this. Listen to how coordinated, how plotting these people are. Remember how we talk about all the time how they do things. The communist does things with a purpose, with a goal in mind. And we just kind of flail around. They admit on camera as part of the documentary that this was a big show production.
Thompson's committee had gathered a trove of information.
That would be Benny Thompson. He's a loser. Don't worry about it. But he was the head of the committee.
The challenge, what to do with it.
The one thing that we knew was the information that we have is compelling. The thing we needed to do was tell that to the American people in a compelling way. So that's why we brought in a former president of ABC News.
Yeah, I got a call pretty much out of the blue from the January the 6th committee. They wanted a storyteller. And while they were brilliant lawyers, storytelling for a mass audience is not what they do.
I'll let him keep going. I want you to stop and marinate on that for a second. They wanted a storyteller. Storytelling isn't what they do. They are openly admitting they went out to find a propagandist to try to rev people up.
To bring in a guy like this who would think outside the box really did prove to be fruitful. And it was Goldston who really began to envision this as, in a way, a kind of mini-series, that there would be, you know, sort of 9 episodes, and that these episodes would tackle particular themes.
The first hearing was primetime television.
As the nation is about to witness a defining moment, the first hearing before the country, the results of the January 6th investigation.
This is an extraordinary moment in American history.
When it came to that first hearing, we knew how high the stakes were.
Is about to hold its.
Listen to them building all this up. And then, of course, they're playing clips of their media apparatchik friends in the background who gleefully carried the whole thing. What a gigantic psyop this whole thing was on the American people. Why does your liberal Aunt Peggy talk about January 6th people as if traitors and insurrectionists? Because Aunt Peggy went and plugged into the hive mind and got this crap.
First, prime time hearing.
We were either going to, you know, make people realize that this was important, you know, or once you've lost them, you've lost them for good.
On the evening of June 9th, 8:01 p.m., the doors opened. My heart was beating pretty fast on June 9th. And it was a real question of, is this going to work or not?
I'm in this tiny control room right up the stairs from Cannon Caucus. And we count down to the start of the hearing. And at that point, what can you do?
Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
The Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol will be in order.
They put out a whole documentary on how the January 6th committee was a Hollywood production. That's what they do with their money. We buy limousines and floral arrangements.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
New state-mandated tampon dispenser in Connecticut. High school boys ripped down in just 20 minutes, according to the principal. I'm telling you, young men in this country are moving to the right, and they're getting rebellious about it, and they're moving there quickly, and I am here for it. You go, fellas. Don't do anything illegal, though, anyone out there. I want to make sure you know not to do anything illegal. Vandalism is wrong. Peter Thiel, he's a billionaire, he's bankrolling, quote, Olympics on steroids event that allows athletes to dope. I'm 100% in favor of this. Not that I want anybody doping kids, but I just am under the impression that most of these people are doing it anyway. They're just doing it better than the testers can possibly do it. I mean, look, there's a reason the guys blow out an ACL now and he's back in like 3 weeks. It's because he snuck into some secret clinic in Germany with some old Nazi doctor who's injected him with stem cells or something. I know what goes on out there. Don't think you're pulling the wool over my eyes. Biden taps John Podesta as his top climate envoy to replace John Kerry. That's just so what the climate change stuff is all about. Just tap the lifelong political guy to take over the last lifelong political guy. Harvard Law Review elects second black woman president in 137 years. Okay, fine. Virginia legislature passes bill to make to-go cocktails permanent. Okay. To-go cocktails, Chris. The ones you can just drive up in some places to just get, a whiskey sour or something like that. Do people still drink that? Whatever. Judge dismisses Disney's lawsuit alleging retaliation by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He really did just abuse Disney for sticking their nose in that law they passed, and I love it. Denny's closes in Oakland restaurant, or Denny's closes Oakland restaurant after 54 years amid soaring crime. The most amazing part about that headline is that Denny's was able to stay open for 54 years. You email me your Ask Dr. Jesse questions, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'll see you tomorrow. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.